Shoot Sports is a major supplier of football equipment from high school teams to college sports to the NFL, and it issues a warning on its helmets. And on their website, it says, warning, no helmet can prevent brain or neck injuries, including paralysis or death, a player might receive while participating in football. So the warning label continues with information about symptoms for concussions, what you should do, and then it repeats the original warning. Contact in football may result in concussion and other serious brain injuries, which no helmet can prevent. In other words, to avoid the risks of playing football, do not engage in the sport of football. At least the company is honest about the risks of participation. And in a similar way, I think the Bible is completely honest about the risks of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. In a way, the Bible says to avoid the risk of trouble and persecution, do not engage in following Jesus. The Bible also offers an amazing promise about the rewards of discipleship. And these are the promises that Jesus reveals in the Beatitudes, and they help us to better understand why, in spite of all the risks, being a disciple is worth every danger that comes with it. So my advice is, follow Jesus. Even though what Jesus says seems very upside down to our everyday experiences, it seems that the world tells us one thing about being blessed, and the Word of God, tells us something very different. In fact, the last beatitude in this series on beatitudes, it seems to be the opposite of what anyone would choose on their own. It's this upside-down idea, and it comes as a double beatitude. And I think it's double because we all need to really understand this one. It's like the Lord really needs to emphasize this one for us. So before we go on, I want to just go to a parable that reminds us of the seriousness of what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. And it's in Matthew 13. It's a parable about the soils. And I want to go to that second soil and see what Jesus talks about it, what it means. Jesus is talking about planting seeds in different types of soil. And in verse 5 and 6, he says, some seed fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. So Jesus describes what's going on here, and then he gives an explanation as a follower of Jesus. He says in verse 20, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word, hears the gospel, hears the good news, hears the word at once and receives it with joy. But since they have no root, that lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, they quickly fall away. And I think this parable leads us into two aspects of living as a follower of Jesus. One is that you and I are facing big trouble. It could be disguised as difficulty, maybe danger, maybe problems or hassles or suffering. The Bible simply calls this trouble persecution. And specifically, persecution because of the word, because of the message that Jesus shares, or because of the message of the kingdom of God that Jesus has revealed and that we have accepted. We're facing persecution. That's the first one. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. So who will? We will have trouble. We are not exempt from persecution. Second one is this. It's the second aspect, that when we are well-rooted, the persecution actually works to our advantage, but only if the soil's good. If it's not rocky, like in the second scenario, then Jesus says, this will apply about trouble. He says, in this world you will have trouble, we got that, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So there's a reason that we still play the game. It's why we put on our helmet of salvation, why we engage in following Jesus. Because even knowing that persecution awaits. So we jump into this soil in the last seedbed. There's another scenario where Jesus says the soil is good. And here, even though persecution comes on all these, the soil condition is away that the good, so that the soil or the seeds can sink down and they can be rooted in good soil and in the confidence of God's kingdom. Jesus said, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what is sown. So what do we need to understand the word? It's planting season. It's coming right around the corner. And most of the farmers have already worked last fall to get the soil condition ready by putting fertilizer on and working the soil even before the frost and the snow came. And now as it begins to warm up, we are reminded that, you know, pretty soon those seeds that have been purchased and are vigorous and ready to go are going to be planted. They're going to grab up those early nutrients and begin to grow, and those roots are going to go down fast. And then when they do, it doesn't matter what's going to come, whether it's a little hail or lack of rain or disease or wind, a plant with a good root system is still going to be able to endure. It's still going to be able to grow, and we know that a harvest is coming. There was an old farmer from this county who has since passed, but he once told me that in all the years that he had farmed, he had never had a crop failure. There were good years and not so good years, but never a failure. He said, the soil here is good. You know, that's the kind of disciple that Jesus expects us to be. But it doesn't exempt us from difficulties and persecution. Instead, it's kind of the opposite. It sets us up for that. But Jesus promises that in the midst of it, like those seeds, you will flourish. And it sets us up for something really good. So let's look at the last beatitude, Matthew chapter 5. Verse 10, it says, blessed, in other words, the favor of God is on you. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This seems like a strange way for Jesus to kind of end this discipleship pitch, doesn't it? Hey, by the way, follow me and you're going to face lots of trouble and persecution. Sound good? So let me give credit today to a couple of authors, actually three that have used throughout this series. Mitchell Dillon, he wrote Beyond Earthbound Dreams. John Kessler, he was chair of pastoral studies in Moody Bible Institute. And then Tony Dobbs, who Blessed Life, he wrote a book, The Blessed Life, the subtitle, That Nobody Wants. So which is a good place for us to begin the first point? We are not exempt from persecution. Jesus said, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I always wondered exactly what that meant, you know, the Prince of Peace saying that. You know, it's a tough one for a church who wants people to always say nice things about us, don't we? Bethlehem Church, it's a great church. They're such good people. Thank you. I mean, good job. For some of us, we might feel like we don't face much persecution as a follower of Jesus. But to those of us who might feel that way, I think Jesus has something to say. Don't be surprised when you do. In a way, Jesus is serving notice to all followers of Jesus. If you are really serving me, he says, just wait. You are not exempt from troubles for your faith. So that's not much of a marketing campaign. Join the church. We'll finally get some persecution that we've been missing. That's going to be our next new member class, so I encourage you to sign up early. So why do we dislike persecution? You know, I think when most of us hear this beatitude, we think of all those poor Christians around the world who are really facing difficult situations, who are being persecuted for their faith. They're being murdered and jailed and facing all kinds of difficulties, but not really us. Most of us probably hold on to the idea that I can expect most people around me to respond well to me if I live the gospel, if I live as a loving neighbor to the people around me. I want to be I want to be rewarded for doing good. I want to be accepted and appreciated for being the good person that I am. Does that sound right to you? I hope you do. But if that's how we think it works, then the question would be, why is so much of the church around the world facing something very different than that? It's because we follow Jesus, and he was persecuted. So don't let this discourage you, Jesus said. In fact, on the night of his betrayal, he tells his disciple, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. So why did Jesus spend so much time on this last beatitude? Why did he double it up? It's the only one with this explanation. So I think it's important for us to look again at it. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I've read an article about the underground church in China, several of these over the years, and the persecution that pastors and their families face. They're constantly being jailed for leading house churches or churches that don't align with the party line. It's so common, in fact, that they call prison, actually, these pastors, they call it their seminary. It's like they haven't really gone to seminary until they've actually gone to prison for their faith. It's where they are really tested and proven that their faith is certain and secure. And there's a letter posted on the Luke Alliance website. It's an advocacy group that works for persecuted pastors. It's a letter from the detained Reverend Mingri Ezra Jin. They call him Ezra Jin. He was recently in the news in October about this pastor and others being jailed in China. He writes this letter from prison, and to the best of my understanding, I believe this is authentic. So I wanted to read it, just a portion of it. He says, dear brothers and sisters, all the saints of Zion, so he's in prison, may God's grace and peace be upon you from our Father God and Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, everything here is still new to me, but I often think back to those exciting days, the days when we pioneered the gospel together, trained disciples and established churches. They feel as if they were right before my eyes. You were always so kind, steadfastly focused on the things of Christ. My heart longs for you. I'm gradually adjusting to life here. My blood sugar and physical discomfort are slowly improving. Don't worry about me. I find great comfort in being able to endure this little suffering for the gospel. Thinking back over the years, many of our young ministers, deacons, elders have been in prison for the gospel, and those senior church leaders I respect have also suffered. When I heard that news, I was so heartbroken and I didn't know what to do. Now that I'm experiencing these things for myself, I feel more at peace. I'm truly joyful to be among these brothers and sisters who have paid the price for the gospel. Isn't this what the Lord Jesus said? Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Sounds like a letter from the Apostle Paul, to be honest. And I think this is at the heart of the attitude that we should have towards persecution. We don't want to grow discouraged. In a way, rejection is actually the mark of acceptance, evidence that somebody caught a glimpse of Jesus in you. But Jesus' point is clear. If we're going to be faithful in following him, we can expect opposition. And it may even come from those who are closest to us. In Matthew 10:35, Jesus said, for I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. That sounds difficult and hard, and nobody wants that. We rejoice when our children follow in the faith, but that's not always the case. That can't always be expected. As your pastor, I don't want you to think in your life that being a Christian and growing as a follower and maturing in your faith is going to get easier. Because as you follow Jesus, actually, he's preparing us for opposition. So don't be surprised when the church is persecuted, when things happen to good, upstanding Christians in this country. When that happens, don't be disillusioned, like you can't believe it's happening, because Jesus promised it would. It's part of what it means to be the church in the world. You will get blindsided by harsh words. Don't get discouraged. You will face ridicule and jokes about you. Don't get discouraged. You might even have physical harm done to you. Don't get discouraged. I recently heard from a pastor who took some huge hits for standing for the truth and expects more to come, including slander and attacks. And this is a rock-solid, God-honoring, good pastor and my friend. And it's hard. Pastor Troy Dobbs of Grace Church in Eden Prairie, he writes, and I agree, please take this to heart. If you are in Christ, persecution is normal. It could come from an unbelieving spouse. It could come from a college professor, a government official, a friend. We were part of a Christian, as the church here, we were part of the Christian community that sponsored an evangelistic group, went to the Wheaton High School. Good message in the afternoon, and then the evening worship service was a message about the narrow gate in Matthew 7. As soon as the group was booked and signed up and the dates were posted, calls of legal threats and action against the school came fast and furious. It caused a lot of concern and strained relationships. The persecution that came was actually from outside of our community, but against the gospel message being proclaimed. So the night of the event, if you were there, students, you saw students stream to the floor to commit their lives to Jesus and to commit to renewing their faith. And many of those students went through our youth group over the years and still are. And even after the event, the criticism toward the group and to us for sponsoring it continued. And I suppose some things could have been done differently, but let's call it what it is. Persecution is going to come to those who stand on the gospel's truth. So when we put ourselves on the line and live for the kingdom principles and the beatitude, opposition from spiritual forces of evil should be counted on. Don't be surprised. 2 Timothy 3:12, the apostle warns, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. Let me say that one more time. In fact, everyone who?
Everyone.
So that includes you. Who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be what?
Persecuted.
Not might be, says everyone. Not could be, says will be persecuted. Who wants to live a godly life? Now, I don't know if you read the fine print before, but this is a little bit, Now, this isn't an excuse. Hear me here. This isn't an excuse to be offensive or rude. Oh, I'm being persecuted for my faith. Maybe you're just a jerk. Or for bringing persecution on yourself because you're obnoxious. You know, don't do that. The Bible says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they excuse you for, or they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits. So don't give excuses to those who persecute you. Rather be an example. Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because they do what's right, because they have a right relationship with God, because they live in right relationships with others. Because Peter writes, even if you should suffer for what is right, you're blessed. It's a blessing to suffer for living God's way, because you know that you belong to the kingdom of heaven, that persecution is a given and a reminder of the blessing that you have coming. So you don't really need to get too worried about it. Don't get crazy when things happen around you. Don't lose your head and don't lose your faith. Jesus knows what you're going through. He went through it. He knows you. He knows the hairs on your head. Even, you know, I think about that, like, I don't know if that means I'm getting less known or what, but I think he cares about, you know, all those hairs that fell out too. He does. Jesus said, your Father in heaven cares. He cares for each sparrow, which are far less important than you. So he cares for you. He knows what you're facing. He knows what you will face, and he's with you. He's got it. So here's the truth. The gospel is good news because it saves you and I and everyone from sin, from eternal death, giving us eternal life through faith in him. But to much of the world, Christianity is bigoted and narrow-minded and an exclusive religion. But the charges, I think, against Christianity simply don't hold up. In fact, the Bible makes it clear that salvation in Christ is for everyone. John 3:16 makes it clear that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The good news is going to be opposed. The apostle knew that persecution would come. He probably faced more than most ever will, and yet he never slowed down in proclaiming the gospel. He was compelled in every circumstances. He writes, rather, as a servant of God, we commend ourselves in every way. Asian Access is a Christian mission agency in South Asia, and they list a series of questions to church planters who are inviting new believers to put their faith in Jesus and make that known, especially in non-Christian countries. So they have a checklist, 7 questions that they ask before a disciple decides to commit his life and go public. They ask, are you willing to leave home and lose the blessing of your father? This would be like their dad, their earthly father. Are you willing to lose your job? Are you willing to go to the village and those who persecuted you, forgive them and share the love of Christ with them? Are you willing to give an offering to the Lord? Are you willing to be beaten rather than deny your faith? Are you willing to go to prison? Are you willing to die for Jesus? The author of the article writes, the 7 questions serve as a sobering reminder for all Christians from every continent of what it might cost us to follow Jesus. I hope this all becomes clear to you that as a follower of Jesus, you are not exempt from persecution. So when it comes, don't lose your faith. I think the time has come for us all to be ready and willing to endure what's coming. So I wanted to help you know before it gets worse. But there is another side to the equation. Persecution actually works to our advantage. Not in the sense of, you know, that first part where we call persecution on ourselves because we're not following the gospel. Jesus says, or Peter says, it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than evil. But when persecution actually works to our advantage, Jesus reminds those who are being persecuted for his sake that they have the kingdom of heaven and a great reward. It's a repeat of the first beatitude. Whoever has total reliance and trust on God finds their reward as belonging to the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is yours. And not just a future reward, but it's a present reality. It's a here and not yet thing, and it's coming. And no matter how bad things get, you don't need to be discouraged because God's promise is greater than man's threats every time. Jesus doesn't stop there. The Beatitude, it continues with this second promise. He says, blessed are you, favored are you by God. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad because, here it is, great is your reward. Say that with me. Great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So something far greater awaits you and I in heaven. I wouldn't say that should make us desire persecution. I don't think anyone desires that, but we can be assured that we will be greatly rewarded. So I want to encourage you to get used to this idea of a reward that is coming, a great reward. Sometimes we think, we're just humble Christians. It's just by grace that God has saved us, absolutely. But also, a great reward is in store for you. You can count on it as a follower of Jesus. And here's what this does for us. Too often when things get difficult, we begin to doubt. That's one thing I think that's happening with persecution. The persecutor is trying to sow seeds of doubt. Doubt about your convictions. Doubt about God's goodness. Doubts about God's promises. These are the doubts that we face under pressure. Jesus says, don't worry. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Jesus says, in fact, your faith under persecution is precious to me, is beautiful to me. And your reward will be exponential in comparison when you stand in the Father's presence with me. A Christ follower is really a living martyr. Edwin Lutzer shares a story of such a martyr. He spoke at Moody Church under heavy security since jihadist groups had repeatedly posted a death threat of $50 million on his head. He was regarded as Islam's public enemy number one. And after his talk, in which he exposed the deceptions of Islam, Pastor Lutzer asked him this question: what price have you had to pay for your boldness in pointing out the errors of Islam and sharing the claims of the gospel? Now, even saying that sentence wouldn't sit with some people, but he said, whatever price I have had to pay is cheap in comparison to what Jesus Christ has done for me in shedding his blood for us. Then he explained how his brother had his tongue cut out and a stake put through his head for preaching the gospel in Egypt. But that was okay if it was the price that needed to be paid for preaching the gospel. Jesus takes care of me until it's time for me to go, he said. It's worth it because persecution tests our faith. And faith tested and found true brings us closer to Jesus. As we wind down here, I invite you to listen to the words of the Apostle Paul one more time in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having yet nothing, yet possessing everything. Friends, lift your gaze. There is a great reward, but not here. There is acceptance, but not in this world. There is honor when Jesus returns. So face your trials with great expectation. Each day, be willing not just to die for your faith, but to live for Jesus. You are not exempt from persecution. You're not. You're also not alone. The good news that it all works out to your great advantage. Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. He said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you, because we are followers of Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the great promise that you give us. And thank you that you made your disciples and us fully aware of what we face as your follower. Lord, we are grateful to be able to worship in freedom here, to experience this community of faith. Lord, to have the choice to open and freely worship you. But Lord, we also know that there are troubles. And Lord, help us to face them with boldness. Help us not to be deterred in sharing the good news of the gospel. Help us not to doubt when difficult times come. But help us, Lord, to trust in you and let the troubles and persecutions that we face because of righteousness, because of your word, because of you, grow us deeper in our walk with you and turn our eyes to you, Jesus, and to the hope that we have in the coming resurrection. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.